Are you wanting to live a life with more clarity and happiness? I'm Tammy Hill, a licensed marriage and family therapist, sex therapist, professor at Brigham Young University, and most importantly, a wife, mother, and grandmother. I am also an optimist. I strive to live my life on purpose, with purpose. I am here to inspire people to do the things that inspire them, so that together, each of us can change our world for the better. Join me for my Live Your Why podcast. Together, we can live a life full of passion and purpose. Hi, this is Tammy Hill, and this is the Live Your Why podcast. On today's episode, we are talking with one of my favorite people, Carly Palmer Webb, also known as the Christian Sex Educator. She is delightful to talk to, and she's going to visit with us a little bit about sexuality during pregnancy. This is a question I get a lot from students about: how do things change now that I'm pregnant? What is it going to be like when I am pregnant? Can you still have sex when you're pregnant? So we're going to tune in and talk with Carly and learn a little bit more about this. Carly, thank you so much for being here with me.
Thanks for having me, Tammy. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. I think maybe it'd be good for you to introduce yourself a little bit and tell us why you are the Christian sex educator.
Great. Happy to. I will be honest, I kind of entered into this field initially for personal reasons. Selfish sounds bad, but for personal reasons, I was single and waiting until marriage until I was 28. So I had a lot of adult years of abstinence and wanting to understand my sexuality. And so when I was in college, I started to do some research, sort of hesitantly at first, not knowing where to look for someone in my situation, but found some really great classes at my university and some really great books from Christian authors, and but still realized that there was not a ton of content specifically directed at Christian singles, which was my, you know, where I was at the time. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where my exploration started. And then, you know, that eventually led to me pursuing a graduate degree where healthy sexual relationships was my main research emphasis. I was still single at the time. And after I graduated, I got married to my husband, Dallin. And I just, the more I learned myself and talked to people in my circle, the more I realized that so many of us were wondering all these same things. We all had really similar questions and concerns, regardless of relationship status. And so I just felt like this was a space where I could be one more voice. I could contribute to the good work that was already being done and just try to reach more Christian singles and couples to help them understand sex and sexuality in healthier ways. So that's kind of how I got here. So very happy to be in this space because there's so many incredible people here. I've admired your work for a long time, Tammy, from when I was single too. So
thank you.
So yeah, I love what I do. It's really fun.
Well, you can tell that you love what you do. I have to say, I always follow you on Instagram. First of all, your Instagram account is so beautiful, and I know you do all that yourself. You've got a really neat artistic eye. But I also love your openness and your curiosity. And like, you recently did a survey on how did you orgasm the first time, and you asked people to share that information. Then you put together this guide. And I think, wow, that is a perfect question to ask and to get all this information and bundle it together. You're doing such important work. And especially as I start retiring and leaving, I'm so grateful that there are wonderful, young, energetic people like you who are going to keep doing the great work that you're doing. So I admire you very much.
So to be, Tammy. But you're, I mean, even after retirement, your work, including your new book, which I'm about halfway through and loving.
Good.
I'm sure will continue to bless people for a long time. Your retirement won't change that.
You're sweet. Thank you. Well, today you are expecting your first baby. And mm-hmm. I would really like to focus on sexuality during pregnancy. And I thought you would be the perfect person to talk to, because the first time you experience something, it really teaches you so much that you didn't understand from just reading books. So I'm going to hope you get a little bit personal about your experience if you feel comfortable as we talk about sexuality and pregnancy. I've often said, personally, that women become different animals during pregnancy. And I'll tell you why. When my husband, Mark, and I, we were infertile for like 13 years. We tried to have children. We did some infertility work, and it didn't work out. And so I can remember one time being at the mall, and I've never wanted a second piercing in my life. But for some reason, I thought, I'm going to get a second piercing. So I went and got another ear piercing, which is pretty rebellious back in those days. And I came home and showed my husband, and he just thought, that is so weird. Why would you do that? And I said, it just sounded so fun. Anyway, like, 2 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant with our little boy. And I realized that really was more of my weird new animal pregnancy self than it really was Tammy. And so how has pregnancy impacted your different personality and the things that you are? Do you feel like you're a little bit of a different animal?
Oh, yeah. Not necessarily in the ways that I expected. But I have done a lot of research. I'm a researcher. I can't help myself. I'd read the articles, you know, kind of what to expect during pregnancy with sex. So I knew that there would be changes. I didn't know exactly what they would be, but I knew there would be changes. But it was actually a lot more dramatic than I expected.
Really?
And yeah, I think initially for me, that was because my first trimester I was quite a bit sicker than I had hoped I would be, mm-hmm. which I know is the case for a lot of us. I could barely stand up without throwing up. And so anything that involved a lot of movement, including sex, was really, really difficult for me. Mm-hmm. And as someone who's typically the higher desired partner in her marriage, that was quite shocking and frustrating.
Yeah.
When the sickness improved, then there were new things introduced that still made our sexual relationship different, right? My body is growing so quickly and changing, and hormone levels are different. I mean, your estrogen and progesterone, the spikes during pregnancy, yeah. right? So still, even after most of the sickness passed, our sexual relationship has looked really different mm-hmm. now for 7 months than it did before that. I will say I'm proud of how we've handled it, because it's been so challenging. But yeah, I feel way different sexually than I did pregnancy.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that we're both normal. You do feel really different, and yeah. It's so much of it feels so, like, to me, what I remember is I logically knew that what I was wanting or feeling was irrational, and yet mm-hmm. I was responding in a really irrational way, and it felt this mm-hmm. I felt this disconnect a lot of times between how I normally would behave and how I was actually behaving.
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up, Tammy. You're after your earring story, this made me think of that. But also being irrational, the way that we thought maybe I was pregnant. We'd been trying for a while, and we were at my sister's house for dinner, and most of my family was there, my siblings and their kids. And I was kind of in charge of the meal that day. So I'm kind of preparing, and a couple of things had gone wrong, and I found myself getting really emotional, like kind of getting teary-eyed about things that were going wrong with the dinner, which I'm not a fabulous cook, so I'm pretty used to things going wrong. But that was kind of weird. But then when we were serving, I went to shake a bottle of Thai chili sauce, and I didn't realize that my oldest nephew, who's 14, had already opened it. Aww. And I shook it, and the lid was unscrewed. It was just, the lid was just set on there, and I dumped Thai chili sauce all over myself and all over my nephew.
Aww.
And I just started sobbing, like hard sobbing. And my whole family's like, okay. I'm a crier. I'm an emotional person, but not over, you know, spilled Thai chili sauce. Anyway, I took a couple of days after that, and it was positive. So that was kind of our first clue. But I mean, you do respond really differently. At least for me, I've been a lot more emotional during pregnancy than I normally am. And again, I am normally an emotional person. And that definitely does feed into your sexual relationship, especially when there's so many changes. There's a lot to be emotional about. It's tricky to navigate.
It's so true. So let's maybe dive in and talk a little bit about, for each trimester, maybe some bodily changes, and maybe, and then move into how does that impact your relationship, and then specifically going into some of the sexual desire or sexual comfort, kind of more about the sexuality piece. So first trimester, bodily, you were just terribly sick, and that's fairly common that women get really sick. What other things, as far as pregnancy are concerned, can a woman expect to feel different with her body?
Yeah, well, there, because of the hormonal changes, you'll notice some other things. There may be changes in natural lubrication. It may be difficult, or some women, it's easier to get lubricated down there during sex. It's kind of interesting that some women experience the opposite of each other with similar changes expected. But so that can be different. You might feel different emotionally, like we talked about, which can impact the way that you show up in your sexual relationship. Even though physically your body doesn't look a lot different during that first trimester, you can feel quite a bit different. But there may be some other physical changes. Your breasts might be growing. They might be more tender. It might be uncomfortable for them to be touched, which might be new. I'm trying to think, are there other bodily changes that you want to mention, Tammy? I hope that you're going to share stuff.
No.
You've been through this too.
Well, I went into medical dietetics for my first master's program, and we spent an entire semester on pregnancy and the changes in the body. It was so fascinating. The thing I remember personally was how exhausted that I was. And I remember from that course that in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, a woman's blood volume increases 70%. And when you have that big of a blood volume increase so quickly, you're very iron deficient, and that contributes a lot to your exhaustion. I remember either throwing up or being asleep. those were my two basic places.
Also, with that increase in blood volume, some women experience some swelling in their vulva area. The clitoris might be more sensitive than you're used to because of increased blood flow. For some women, it's kind of uncomfortably sensitive. So that's a big one too.
There's so much. And it changes as we keep rolling along. So how did those necessarily impact your relationship, those changes?
Yeah, during the first trimester.
Uh-huh.
Well, I would say the first trimester was probably the time when we had to be the most flexible with our sexual relationship. We talked about it quite a lot. It was important to us going into pregnancy that we still found ways to connect sexually, even though we knew it might look different. So during the first trimester, because I was so sick, and this is the experience of a lot of women, I actually couldn't stand the smell of anyone, including my husband, right? So, I mean, he's a very clean, hygienic human, but even right after he showered, just being really close to him would would trigger some,
yes.
reflexes. So we had to be quite creative in how we connected sexually during that time. And it looked really different. There was a lot more just cuddling naked than there was intercourse, right? And I would have to face away, you know, we do the spooning thing. I'm facing the other direction. We've got a fan blowing towards me so that I can't smell very much, you know. It was quite different. And we did try to practice some, you know, mindful sexuality techniques, which we can talk more about. But sometimes we would just lay there and not really do anything, but just lay there together without our clothes on and remember how much we love being together sexually, even though it looked a little bit different. Sometimes there was enough physical strength and stamina for, you know, a manual sex interaction or something when the full sexual intercourse and full shebang that we were used to didn't quite feel doable, you know?
Right.
You do have to be a little creative and very purposeful in still trying to connect sexually. But I think also one thing that was really helpful is both of us recognized that we weren't going to be having sex or engaging sexually the same amount that we were before. It just wasn't for us during the first trimester. That wasn't an option. And recognizing that it was just a season and that it would pass was really helpful, because then it didn't feel like the end of the world that we couldn't have sex the way that we were used to, because we knew it wouldn't be forever, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good thing to keep in mind.
That is so, I love putting it in perspective that way and recognizing it's a season. And I really think as the skin is the largest organ on the body, the more skin to skin contact that we can have, you know, the brain chemistry that goes on when you're skin to skin within 20 seconds, you've got dopamine and other neurotransmitters just flooding the brain with bonding and attachment. And so I think there are many ways to make love. And you found some that were just a little unique during that time, but it was still making love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will look different, and that's okay.
It is okay. Well, let's move to the second trimester then. What are some bodily changes that have impacted sexually and then relational?
Yeah. Well, I'm told by a lot of women that second trimester is their favorite.
That was my experience.
Because you're feeling quite a bit better. Typically, most women, the nausea decreases a lot during the second trimester. Even for women who've been really ill during the first trimester, there's usually a quite dramatic improvement. Mm-hmm. A lot of women report an increase in sexual desire in the second trimester. If that doesn't happen to you, that's okay. Doesn't mean that there's something wrong. It just means that all bodies respond differently to changes. But your body does start to grow more. Your belly starts to get bigger. You start to realize during sex that some things are a little bit uncomfortable. Some positions that you're used to are starting to feel a little bit off, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. So there are those bodily changes. It is, you're experiencing your body growing, which you expect, but that also impacts the way that you feel in your own skin, and it can impact the way that you show up in your sexual relationship. I also think it's important to acknowledge that there's some serious stress and emotional weight that comes with pregnancy. It can feel like a really dramatic identity shift. And for me, there was some mourning of our past relationship and our past life without kids, which I love our life. Mm-hmm. We're excited for this next phase, but I loved our life without kids. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of emotional things going on that can impact the way that you show up in your relationship too. You might be having sex more frequently in the second trimester than you did in the first. That's not the case for everybody. That's okay. But that's when you start to realize that physically your sexual relationship might need to change a little bit from what you're typically used to.
Right. Shifting positions. So the weight of the husband's body is not right there on the abdomen and baby. I also, a lot of women, their breast volume increases so much, and the sensitivity can increase in a way that's really pleasurable. Or the same woman can have it be pleasurable one time, and then the next time it's too much and it hurts. And so like there's this back and forth between sensitivity that you can't predict.
Totally. I hear from women quite often, because I'm pregnant, people talk to me a lot more about pregnancy sex on my account. And some women are like, pregnancy sex is my favorite. It's so good. The orgasms are better. I feel so good about myself. They really feel confident because of the growth in their breasts, which can be fun, you know? And some women are like, oh, it's so hard for me. I'm so exhausted. I have no desire, you know? It's so different for so many people. So that can be tricky to navigate.
It is. And even in the same woman, in the same pregnancy, it can be very different from one week to the next. And I think I love the way you're normalizing that this could be the situation and it's totally normal. Don't stress about it. This one thing I do know about sex and pregnancy is it's unpredictable, and your word of being flexible is perfect advice. So,
and just be really gentle with yourself. It will be different than you expect.
I like that. Tell me, as far as your relationship with Dallin in the second trimester, did anything shift there, or did you just still kind of try to realize this is a season and all that?
Well, I will say it was easier to connect in the second trimester than the first. I think even though we were purposefully working to connect in the first, because I was so sick and Dallin was actually in the first semester of a graduate program, there was some distance that grew. I mean, we didn't see each other as much. We weren't spending a ton of time together. And when we were, I was mostly laying down and growing up. So I was really happy when we started to feel a little bit more like ourselves. I mean, it felt more like us in the second trimester, but still there were differences. I mean, there's a lot of stress as we prepare to welcome a baby, and all the physical changes and the emotional changes that came with that for me were hard to navigate. And so he's learning how to be a partner to a pregnant person, and I'm learning how to be a partner as a pregnant person. So, you know, it's still going to feel probably for most couples somewhat different than they're used to, even though it will improve in the second trimester. But also there's so many sweet moments in the second trimester. I mean, you get to start feeling the baby move towards the end of the second trimester, and having your spouse feel the baby move for the first time is so sweet. And just preparing together to be parents is really sacred and special and really difficult. So there's a lot of really happy glimmers, really happy moments, and some really stressful moments. And that exists within the sexual relationship as well.
Yeah. You have to kind of realize that there's opposition in all things, including this aspect of pregnancy. Yeah. I can remember Mark absolutely felt so, I think a word would be powerful or something, when, as he observed my body grow with this baby, it was like, I did this to you. And he just felt so proud of all of that growth. And then as the woman, you're thinking, everything's so different.
Yeah, it's the change is so rapid. It's just wild to live. And I mean, bodies change throughout our lifespan. It's not like we're totally unfamiliar with change, but we are totally unfamiliar with that.
Yes.
Fast of change.
Yes. that speed.
Yeah.
Okay, I know you're in the third trimester. What are things you know about the third trimester that would be helpful for our listeners to understand as far as bodily changes and the sexual piece and relational piece?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can guess what big changes I'm experiencing in the third trimester. Yes. I'm growing quick. My belly's getting bigger and bigger. And I feel like just from day to day, like the pants that I wore 2 days ago, I can't get on anymore. You know, it's changing really fast. So that's been kind of comical and stressful at the same time.
Yes. Yes.
But there is more physical discomfort in the third trimester. For a lot of women, they experience a lot of back pain, round ligament pain. You're exhausted and feeling quite stretched and squished. You know, it's just more physically uncomfortable. And so that impacts your sexual relationship and normal relationship. I mean, even just things like Dallin and I's relationship involved a lot of activity. We both really love sports. We played a lot of volleyball. We rock climbed several times a week. We don't do any of that anymore. I don't. So in that way, the way that we exist together has changed a lot as my body has changed more dramatically. Sex, as you can imagine, is quite different when your belly is really big. Mm-hmm. Some positions that you may be used to are just not an option anymore. Mm-hmm. So you have to get a little creative, but I'll be honest, I find that part a little bit hilarious. So it's fun for me. It's too comical to not laugh about trying to figure out how to have sex in this completely new body.
Yeah.
And I will admit, it's not always like, do I cry about it too? Absolutely. The body changes have been hard for me, but sometimes you just have to laugh about what's going on.
Yeah, that's so true. Because otherwise you'd just be in tears all day.
Right.
So I can remember as we tried to figure out new positions for me, I think we both understand we're probably the high desire partners, but because of what we study and all. But for me, trying new positions, and I especially thought in pregnancy, having, I know this sounds weird, but a mirror a lot of times would enhance arousal as we're observing one another in a mirror in a position that would be comfortable. To me, having a mirror was very, very helpful during pregnancy. And I think that's one way maybe to make things feel a little bit more erotic. Any other suggestions you might have?
I think a couple of things came to mind as well. Ooh, big fan of the mirror technique, though. One thing that the mirror technique made me think of is some of the challenge showing up in your sexual relationship when you're pregnant is that a lot of women, including myself, find it more difficult to feel really sexy when your body looks so different than what you're used to. And that's totally normal. For me, something that's helped is I have tried to kind of redefine sexy in my own mind. And when I have a moment where I'm like, whoa, my belly looks so big right now when we're being intimate or just, you know, doing whatever, I'll just, the phrase that works for me is strong is so sexy. So I feel like even though I cry all the time, and this has been the hardest thing I've ever done, I feel so strong just that I have survived this long. So I think just if you need to kind of redefine what sexy looks like for you right now. I mean, it's natural to feel a little more uncomfortable in your body as it changes so much. But remind yourself what you're doing. Absolutely. Like, this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And strength is sexy and confidence is sexy. You can still show up feeling really good about yourself, even though you're feeling different.
Yes.
Than you typically. So that redefining what you feel like is sexy is one thing. The other thing that came to mind is I actually just read the chapter in your book on this last night, Tammy, when I couldn't sleep, which insomnia is super fun.
No.
But practicing slow sex, I think, can be really, really sweet during pregnancy. At any time, of course, too, but just taking more time to savor the moments that you have together. You might have less of them than you're used to. And so just really enjoying the time that you have together And moving slowly is helpful physically when you're uncomfortable and in pain generally. So right. Practically it makes more sense, but it can just be a really sweet, special way to connect with your spouse, to have really slow and intimate and careful isn't the word that I'm looking for, but just very purposeful sex, paying attention to each other, paying attention to how you're feeling, just really being in the moment with them. Even if sex is happening less frequently, you can make it really meaningful that mm-hmm. way.
Oh, that was beautifully said, Carly, that eye contact, I think mm-hmm. a lot of times there can be there. And I can remember feeling like, you know, you're excited for it not to be so big and to have this baby and to move on and get normal. But there's also this piece in after you're not pregnant anymore that you thought, oh, that was kind of cool seeing that child grow and we were together and it would be nestled between us or whatever. It is also a season that's not going to last. And the more that you can make it more intentional and more care in with what it is you're doing, I think it can also be something that you remember with a lot of fondness.
Yeah, it's a really sweet time. It's a really hard time, and it's a really sweet time. Feeling the baby move during sex is a really strange experience for me. I don't know if that's the case for everyone. But all of a sudden, you're like, oh, this feels weird. It feels like there's someone else here. That's strange for both my husband and I, but it's kind of cool too.
Yeah, there is someone else there. It does feel a little different. And I think the first time you make love when you bring a baby home, I know this is weird, but I remember feeling so weird, like there's someone else in the house. And do you think we should be doing this? And It's very different. Carly, it seems like you and Dallin can have such great conversations about your sexuality. Do you have any, especially right here in this season, do you have any tips for people who might not feel as confident in having sexual conversations? What are some ideas you have for that?
Yeah, definitely. The first thing I would say is just practice. You get more comfortable as you practice, but you have to be willing to start the conversations. If you're preparing for pregnancy or trying to get pregnant but aren't pregnant yet, I would really encourage you to start talking about your sexual relationship when pregnant now. I think that kind of getting in the habit of talking about it beforehand can be really helpful. But discuss the fact that there will be changes. You can listen to this podcast episode together with your spouse if that will be helpful. And start trying to discuss ways that you might navigate changes. If I'm really sick during my first trimester, what are ways that we can still connect, even if our normal sexual relationship needs to look really different? Start those conversations now. That's one thing that I would say. Mm. Also, I think just as far as being comfortable with the conversations, something that can be really helpful, I think, is to say, even if you need to say it through text, give your spouse a heads up that you want to have a conversation about this. So if it's more comfortable for you to text it to them during the day, great. Start there. That's just fine. But just say, I would really like to talk about our sexual relationship. It's really important to me that that's a happy part of our marriage. So can you tell me when you're ready to talk about that? Or can we plan a time to talk about that? Just so that both of you have some time to prepare and it's not like, let's talk about this right this very instant, you know?
Yeah.
And that can be an easier way to bring it up as well.
That's a great idea.
The other thing that I would say for specifically for conversations during pregnancy about sex is just add an extra dose of empathy to every interaction from both sides, right? Pregnancy is overwhelmingly difficult at times, and it's really, really emotionally challenging as well as physically. So I think if you are the spouse of a pregnant person, being really sensitive to how difficult it would be to show up in a sexual relationship when you're experiencing so many changes, just trying to be extra sensitive to what your spouse might be going through can be helpful. But on the flip side, it's also really challenging. Even though your wife may be carrying the physical load and, you know, she's dealing with a lot that you aren't dealing with through pregnancy, it is still really hard for the spouse to learn how to navigate their marriage to a newly pregnant person. So I think those of us that are pregnant can add an extra dose of empathy for our spouse as well. Mm. And they may really miss connecting with you sexually, and that's a good thing. Yeah. It's good for them to miss it. It's good for them to want it. And just trying to be sensitive to that as well. You might not be able to change that you're not having sex, especially during the first trimester, right? But you can acknowledge that that would be hard. Mm-hmm. And it being hard for both of you, you know, there doesn't need to be a hierarchy of suffering.
Well said.
Go there mentally, like, you think this is hard for you, you know, that's a really easy place to go. But you can both be kind and understanding about each other's situation without having to go to the hierarchy of suffering. It can be hard for both of us, mm-hmm. even if one of us is literally carrying most of the
weight. I think that's such an important thing to remember, to have compassion and empathy and to really listen to what's going on both sides. And it is easy sometimes to get a little defensive because as the wife and mother, you're really are doing this bulk of this work to have this child create and grow inside of you. But there is also, they're dealing with a lot of emotions. They're dealing a lot with other things as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of fear as well.
Fear, yeah. For sure.
And can I say one more thing, Tammy?
Yeah.
I mentioned this before. But in the communication that you're having during pregnancy sex, it's been really helpful for us and maybe helpful for you to just remind each other every once in a while that this is a season. just telling myself that and reminding Dallin and him reminding me, like, our sexual relationship is different right now. It's not always going to be like it is now. Mm-hmm. And sex isn't always going to be as challenging to figure out as it was during the first trimester or as it is now trying to figure out in the third trimester. This is a season. So we can enjoy it for what it is and celebrate the parts of the season that are really happy. And remember that the parts that are not really happy and are really hard will pass, that things will change. Mm-hmm. And will our sexual relationship ever be exactly the same as it was before having a baby? No, probably not. But I think that's a good thing. Our relationships are intended to evolve. Our marriage will never be the same as it was before we welcomed this new baby. And so we'll enter into a new, really beautiful season. And there will be hard things and good things, you know. But just reminding each other that this too shall pass can be really helpful.
That's a good phrase, huh? So I know you're not here yet, but what have you studied and what can you tell us about postpartum sex?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one I haven't experienced, but I have read a lot. No, postpartum sex, I think, is similar to pregnancy sex in that it's different for everyone. You know, there you can try to look up data on different things, but every body responds differently. Mm-hmm. Every birth experience is different. Women will have different physical traumas and emotional experiences during birth. So we are expecting the unexpected again with postpartum.
Good advice.
One thing I would say that a lot of women ask me about and are concerned about is the 6-week mark. Right? That oftentimes if you're healing well and there's not a lot of extra complications, your doctor will give you kind of the go ahead for sex at your 6-week checkup. That's pretty typical. And a lot of women are like, wait, I don't feel ready. And some are like, wait, I think I feel ready before that. You know, mm-hmm. I would just say you want to be conscious that internal healing is happening too. So if you feel ready for sex before the 6-week mark, you might want to talk to your doctor about what internal healing needs to still happen. But I think it's just important for all of us to remember that we're different and that you don't have to do anything until you're ready. We are big proponents, both Tammy and I, of always having consent. So
absolutely.
If you feel pressured to do anything that you're not ready for, you can enter back into your sexual relationship, at least with intercourse, really slowly if you need to. It can be more gradual. You can find other ways to connect sexually besides intercourse until you're ready for that physically and emotionally.
100%. I really believe it's important to understand for a woman and for the husband that, you know, there's a lot of ways to have sex and to make love. And a woman can still have clitoral gland stimulation externally while she's healing internally and experience orgasm, and that is totally fine. It is the worry or the concern about infection or damage if penetration happens too soon. But like Carly said, there are many ways to make love. You can still have a really wonderful orgasmic experiences without having penetrative sex.
I do think that's so important to remember. I think it's easy. It's really easy for us to define sex as penetration because that's what we hear growing up, right? Mm-hmm. That the penis in the vagina, that's sex. But there's so much more to sex. And there can be so much more to your sexual relationship, even when you're not having intercourse.
I'm so grateful you said that. That's one of my big things I try to teach all the time, is that that's not necessarily sex, what sex is, right? There's a lot more. Okay, I want to ask Carly, if you were to come in and teach one of my BYU classes, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, about marriage, it can be about sexuality as well, and you had an opportunity to teach my students anything you wanted to teach them, what would you teach?
Oh gosh, I saw this in the notes preparing for this. I'm like, how do you choose one thing?
I know. Putting you on the spot.
I think one of the things that I would want to focus on is I really want people to understand, regardless of their relationship status currently, I really want them to understand the potential of a sexual relationship. I want them to know how good sex can be and how much it can feed your relationship and connect you and heal little disagreements or things in your relationship. I just want people to know that sex is so good. I believe that it's a gift from God, that it's intended to be enjoyed and celebrated, and that it can be one of the very, very best parts of a marriage. And I think a lot of us are maybe living below our privileges when it comes to understanding sexual relationships and engaging in sexual relationships because of negative beliefs or untrue beliefs that we have about sex. So I think that's where I would want to focus, is helping students to let go of some of the negative or untrue beliefs that they have about sex and really allow themselves to see it as a good and beautiful, very happy, very pleasurable part of a marriage.
Wow, that was so beautifully said. I can't wait for you to write your book. It's going to be amazing.
You're so sweet. Maybe someday.
All right. I always wrap up a podcast interview asking my guests to tell us about your why. Carly, what's your why?
Well, this could not possibly sound more cliche, I don't think, but I would just say love. I'm not a sex educator or a sex researcher because I think that sex is the greatest thing in the whole world, though it is fabulous, don't get me wrong. But I chose to be a sex educator and researcher because I believe that love is the best thing in the whole world. Being loved, expressing love, it's just what makes life worth living. And sex is one really beautiful, happy way that we can experience and express love with the most important person in our life. So my goal for my own life and for the lives of those that I will hopefully touch is just more deeper and better love.
Wow. You're a beautiful person.
You're so sweet.
You really are.
I always feel so good about myself when I talk to you, Tammy.
No, you are. You're just, I love, I say love when that you're, why is love? That's kind of repetitive, but I think if it boils down to our experience here in mortality, I think it's about loving each other back to heaven, really. And that's what you're all about.
I love that. That's so beautiful. I'm going to remember that.
I'm so excited. I hope everything goes so well with your baby.
Thank you. Me too.
It has been joyful.
Recently, they're starting to get a little wild, so I hope that everything goes a little bit more smoothly than it does in my birth nightmares.
That is a real thing. I think a lot of people think that's like an old wives' tale or something, but honestly, dreams in dream pregnancy are crazy.
They are wild, mm-hmm. man.
I wonder why. That would be fun to study.
Hormones. It's all because of the hormones.
Hormones. Hey, you're awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me, Tammy. It's always wonderful to be with you.